Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Parenting Uncovered podcast. We are so honored that you're here on this parenting journey with us, where we're all together just learning how to do better the most important job that God has ever given to any of us as parents, which is raising kids. And we've got a great guest with us. Our friend Susan Thomas is back. She is a licensed professional counselor and so full of wisdom, the mom of four kids. We're going to talk today about an important topic, and that topic is how divorce impacts children. We're living in a time right now when divorce is very, very commonplace. As many as half the kids or more are being raised in a home where there are blended family issues or divorce is a factor. And some parents are just holding on in the marriage for no other reason than just trying to kind of get to this so-called finish line when the kids are out of the house so that they can part ways. Mm-hmm. And they're living essentially just as roommates until that happens because they're afraid of how the divorce might impact the kids. So we're just going to dive in and talk about it. These are big issues. You know, we don't want to make anybody feel any shame for whatever your current situation might be, your marital status might be, but we want to equip you to let you know just how kids are impacted by all this.
So, absolutely.
Susan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be back. Yeah, this is a hard topic. It's a painful topic. And even to the people listening right now, there are multiple different people in the audience, right? Listening to these words. And some of you, maybe you're in the middle of a divorce. Maybe you've already gone through a divorce, a choice you made or a choice that you did not have control over. Others may be contemplating that decision or that choice. There may be some people right now that you're married, but you're the product of growing up in a family where there was divorce. So there's so many different applications to this topic. And I think the overarching starting point is understanding God loves you right where you are.
Yes. Yes.
His grace is sufficient. And your weakness, whatever, you know, in your weakness, if you lean into Jesus, he is strong. And so as we enter into that conversation, I think that's kind of the overarching message that needs to just be all over it. Mm-hmm. And then it's really about unpacking divorce. Why is it such a big deal? I think, you know, most people, if not all people, don't typically enter a marriage thinking, hey, we might divorce. Mm-hmm. That's not a thought at the top of mind when you're at the altar. No. And so it's not a goal. But many of us in this broken world we find ourselves in, and lots of circumstances and choices along the way, it's a reality that many, many, many of us face. And so understanding divorce, when you look at it through, again, the worldview that I practice from with my counseling, the worldview that I live with in my own life, for me, we all look to God, what's your design? Because your design is how we flourish. And then when we don't follow your design, there's brokenness, yet you're the God who puts us back together. So for me, when I look at divorce, just that starting point is we talk about how does that impact kids? I go back to one example in Malachi chapter 2, where this also often, I believe, gets very misunderstood, where God is talking to his people and he's talking to them about his design for marriage. And one translation says, I hate divorce. Right. Yeah. That it's a picture of actually violence against that spouse. And really, it's that family. If you've ever been through divorce or been in divorce, it can be a violent experience.
Oh, yeah. For everybody.
Like
everybody
a car involved. Crash of the soul for everybody, everyone involved. And that's not by chance. That's a reality. And some people see that and say, well, if I get divorced, God hates me. That's not what the scripture says.
No.
It says, I hate divorce. Why does God hate divorce? Well, for many reasons, but one is because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to go through the car crash. And so understanding the heart of the Lord is huge, but then also understanding your child is going through what's equivalent to a massive car crash of the soul.
Yeah.
Don't minimize it. Don't think that they are the exception, or that because that particular child manifests in a quiet, mild manner, well, they made it out okay. Nobody makes it out without injury when it comes to the breaking of a family. And so wherever you are in that journey, beginning to understand the condition of your child and, Lord, how do we move forward into your healing? Yes. And so for some of it's, again, depending who's listening, this for the person who's contemplating divorce, our prayer is, let's invest in your marriage. Mm-hmm. You guys are part of an incredible team providing phenomenal resources to help us married people out here discover God's amazing way to live out marriage. To that person, that's where we would start of, you know, don't minimize the damage to yourself, to those children, to the person who's been through it. Let's go on the path to healing so we can see those children begin to heal in a way that they begin to thrive.
Yes. And I think it is possible.
Yes.
Because I know in my friends and in couples that over the years we've come across that have divorced and just, you know, hearing their stories in their heart, sometimes, you know, so especially the moms that I'll talk to, they almost feel, they feel shame because they feel like, well, because we couldn't figure this out, we've damaged our child forever. Like they feel that way. And that just breaks my heart. And I just want to, if that's you, if you clicked on this because you're like, yes, because I just don't know how to help my child in this way. Just know that, again, I want to reiterate what Susan said, and that you're not alone, that God sees you. He loves you. He loves your child. He loves your family. And he can work through this with you, and he can bring healing to all of you. Mm-hmm. But it is a process. And I know something I found, and I know this is, there's been studies on this, and I've seen this even in relationships that we've had with people who are grown children who came out of a divorce. There's this thing where kids, for the longest time, even through their healing journey, and I want you to speak on this, Susan, because I know you'll have a lot to say about this, but they will want their parent, like they have a longing in their heart and a dream in their heart for their parents to one day reconcile. And I remember years ago, we were volunteering in youth ministry with another couple who we love dearly. So we were all in our early 20s, and the wife's parents had divorced at least a decade prior, right, sweetie? Maybe even more. And she told me, we were just having a deep conversation about our childhoods, and she teared up and she said, you know, my mom ended up getting remarried several years after the divorce. The dad had cheated on her mother. And it was terrible. I mean, it happened in her formative years, really hard on her and her brother. And she said, my mom ended up meeting a really nice man and married him. And he's been a wonderful stepfather to me. I have no complaints there at all. But she said, but in my heart of hearts, I just can't let go of the longing for them to one day reconcile.
Yes. And that's such a...
And she's like, she was like 24,
I don't think you ever outgrow it.
Yeah,
you know? And,
that's right.
You know, our youngest son had a play date recently, and a little boy came over, and he's like 8 years old, precious kid, and he was carrying around these two stuffed animals the whole time. And I asked him about him because it's a little bit old, you know, maybe to be carrying two stuffed animals with you everywhere that you go. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, buddy, tell me about your stuffed animals. And it was a monkey and a bear. And he said, and his parents are divorced.
And they have been since he was a baby.
He was
a long
really
time.
Little. And he said, well, this one, he said, I call this one Mama Monkey, and I call this one Daddy Bear. Oh, wow. And he said, and I keep them together because it makes me think of my parents being together.
Wow.
And like my heart just broke in half. I mean, here this kid just wants nothing more. And both parents, I think, are remarried.
They are, yes.
And you know, like now one lives out of state and he travels to see him. He's got a great relationship with everybody.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He just knows in his heart, like this isn't the way it was supposed to be. Yeah. It's not that God can't redeem. It's not that God can't, you know, bless everybody involved and bless the blended family. But there's just something in a kid that craves that stability of being. And there are, I mean, statistics that back up when a child is blessed to be able to grow up in the home of his biological parents, then that kid is more likely to thrive, you know, academically, socially, emotionally, just all the way down the line.
Yeah.
And that's by God's design. That doesn't mean that in situations where that didn't work out, that you're doomed.
Sure.
It just points back to God's design
being the
best. And that doesn't mean you should settle for living in an absolutely miserable environment. We want you to thrive in your marriage. A big part of what we do here at XO Marriage is help you get to that place where you don't just survive, but you thrive. You create the kind of marriage that your kids can look to and want a marriage like that someday. And if you're struggling in your marriage, you know, please reach out, xomarriage.com/help. Mm-hmm. We have trained mediators that can help you. If maybe your marriage is strong, but you want to help somebody else, you might consider giving a donation to this ministry to help keep families together, to help create resources to keep them together. Mm-hmm. But we're all about that work of just helping couples. So Susan, what would your advice be to, you know, maybe that person who is divorced, they're listening to this and they're feeling like, oh man, I'm a single parent now, or maybe I'm remarried. How do I help my kid, you know, navigate just the pain that they're feeling, recognizing that they are, you know, whether they're carrying around two stuffed animals or not, you know, they're feeling that pain. How can a parent help a child at whatever age the child might be to just work through the complex emotions of it?
Yes. It's complex.
Oh, it's so complex. And it's amazing the two examples that you both gave, one from an adult that was from a divorced, you know, family and wanting her parents to get back together or his parents to get back together. And then a child with the teddy bears representing mom and dad. Sounds like that child was a baby when they divorced or young. Yeah. Maybe didn't even remember the actual divorce itself. I would tell parents this again, diagnostically, I want to understand the situation. There's so much emotion involved, but also just understanding part of the human reality is we're all trying to get back to the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
We want things to be right.
Yeah.
We want things to be perfect again. Even if you're a non-believer, something in you knows that things aren't quite right. And nowhere is that more painful than within the family. That was the first creation that God decided to create relationally, was the marriage out of which came family. Mm-hmm. And so when that becomes broken, as every family is broken, but when it becomes broken to the point of divorce, a family torn apart, I believe one of the first ways you can practically begin to understand and to help your child is to recognize their grief. Mm-hmm. There is a grieving that is happening with that person, whether or not they even understand what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And that grief can begin to act out depending on the age of your child. That grief can begin to try and find its own pain relief. And so as a parent, when you just understand, I want to get supports with how I walk my child through this grieving, because there's stages of grief, and sometimes with divorce it comes in waves. It may rise up again at a different place in that person's life. And just recognizing it. Again, it's not saying, oh, I'm eternally flawed and forever I'll walk with a limp. No, God is, our God is the God who raises dead things. He can handle healing from a divorced family and a divorced situation, but leaning into Him, walking with your child, giving them space to grieve. And what that could look like is really tending the culture of your home that you are being very present with your child, not demeaning what's going on underneath the surface, not being punked by the behavior and missing what's going on behind that behavior, because something's driving it.
Yeah.
What is it that's got that child acting out in the way that they are? And creating spaces for regular conversation, check in. Every child's different. I know some of my children, nighttime before bed when I'm completely exhausted, that's when they are ready to have the big talks.
Yeah, exactly.
As a parent, we lean into that moment. Mm-hmm. We lean into with that preschooler, that toddler, or that elementary school age, or that teenager, that we lean into those moments, providing space to grieve. I'm obviously a big advocate of biblical counseling. You've got to have the right counseling, I believe, going to the right sources for our answers. But a biblical counselor, a church that supports you, walking in Christian community, there's so many supports that are practical ways for us to help our family when we're experiencing the pain of divorce. So those are some of the things that I would suggest. And then there's just the whole element of...
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every child you have, I'm sure this is true for you guys, every child you have is unique.
Yes.
If you have more than one, you're like, we're the same people. How are you so different than your sibling? But every child's unique. And with that comes different struggles and challenges, just like different gifting and amazing things. But they may all react differently to divorce. So don't allow the child that is the fireworks display in your home to minimize the one who just seems to be gliding along untouched.
Yes.
Everybody's been touched. Everybody needs that attention and that love as they grieve and they discover the beauty that honestly applies to divorce in every area of our life. And that is through Christ, He is the God who makes all things new.
Yes.
Even a family who's been through the pain of divorce, God has a plan for your family, has a plan for your life, and He can make all things new in those children and in mm-hmm. your own home.
I love that. It's beautiful and full of such hope. I want to ask this question. This is one I think kind of is usually one that every divorced, you know, parent ponders. And that's, how do I handle how I talk about my ex? Okay. Because I think there's two schools of thought. There's one where it's like, I act like everything's fine. I just tell them for what, you know, on their age appropriate level, mom and dad can't be together anymore, and we just act like everything's peachy, even though it's not. And then there's others that say, well, what if I really wanted to stay and my spouse cheated on me and left me or whatever, just up and left, you know, and we don't even know where the spouse is, and they never see that other parent. Like, what is your thought on that? Because I know there's a lot of different approaches to this.
Oh, this is huge. And again, the reality is that marriage has been broken, but it's looking through the lens, not of what makes me feel better or what justifies me in this moment. You know, there's something in the human heart. We long for justice, especially if you in that marriage scenario feel that there was a great injustice done to you. Your children are not the place for you to receive justice.
Absolutely.
Trust that with the Lord. Take it to Him. Have trusted, God-loving people in your life that can surround you and encourage you. But when it comes to those children, one of the next steps of damaging behavior that we can do as parents is try to pit them against their dad or their mom.
Yeah.
And we further divide what God has placed in their heart. Now, does that mean that we don't acknowledge the brokenness of divorce? Again, this is a developmental journey. And I think there is a place where at different places in the development, we are absolutely able to say, we want you to know, this is not God's design. And mom and dad, we are not perfect people. We need Jesus.
Right.
We need Jesus. Your dad needs Jesus. Your mom, I need Jesus. And so we're going to seek Him in this broken place that we didn't expect when we got married. But we can trust the Lord that even with this broken place and the mistakes along the way, because we're not perfect people, that God can repair our lives and He's got great things in front of us. I just think you speak vision to what God has for that child rather than speaking venom to what that spouse in your mind has done to you or to your family. We've got to be very careful to let the Lord be the one who is the righteous judge rather than us trying to step into that role and just furthering bitterness and resentment and destruction in the home.
Right. Because wouldn't you say, and I know Dave, you can speak to this more, you know, sometimes we'll hear from couples that are divorced and maybe remarried and they're trying to, you know, they're doing their best to make that second marriage as strong as possible, not only for themselves, but for their kids. You know, they're like, I want to do this right. And that can be beautiful too, because I mean, you know, maybe it didn't work out and you remarry and you're trying to give, you know, your child a stable home and hoping that maybe your ex creates a stable home as well. And we know people who've done that well, but we know others where again, they may not say anything to their kids, but there's this battle of time. And then, you know, one spouse feels like, or, you know, one parent feels like, I'm just never even seeing my kids. So they may not say anything, but they don't give the time. And that's so devastating too. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And I know there's court systems involved here, and that's a whole, we could have a whole other episode on that. But to the parent that's like, I feel like this divorce, you know, with my child, I'm just so concerned that I'm not going to be able to pour into them as much, or I don't have the time. What would you say?
Oh, I think intentionality is everything. Yeah. I think that the fact that you're asking that question is already good because mm-hmm. you're seeing your child. Yes. I think of a case that years ago, I was privileged to walk with a family years ago where the husband had remarried and the wife had remarried. So mm-hmm. mom and dad had remarried other people. Both of the families, particularly at that time, I think it was one side, they had children together. And so you have this nuclear family yeah. with one child who was a product of the first marriage.
Right.
And so this one child was struggling to feel like I even really have a Aww. Family. I have siblings yeah. that have a nuclear family. I don't. And mm-hmm. so one of the elements of that journey was helping those parents, don't try to make her pretend that this isn't hard, or, hey, now you have a family. Look, you're part of our family. You're our child. Let her grieve. Walk with her when she needs to talk about that. Be with her, be present. Acknowledge the challenge that she goes back and forth between yeah. parents.
Right.
And so I think that you don't want to do the, you know, the emperor has, what is it? The emperor in his clothes, yeah. right? Uh-huh. You don't want to pretend that there's not something hard in the room, something difficult in the room. At the same time, you're consistently offering hope and pointing them to Jesus who makes all things new.
Right.
So being intentional with your time, being thoughtful. If you have an environment with that other, you know, the other parent where you can work that out in the best of ways, that's ideal.
Yes.
But we know that's not always mm-hmm. the case. And so communicating with your child, letting them know, hey, this is not God's design, but we're in it together. Mm-hmm. And we are both going to run to Jesus.
Right.
Let's both run to him together. And you do. Yes. And God will lead us. He'll lead us home.
That's, yes. Man, that is so good. Mm-hmm. And friends, specifically on those very unique, complex, blended family issues, I want to recommend that you reach out to our friends, Scott and Vanessa Martindale, mm-hmm. who lead a ministry called Blended Kingdom Families, which is also based here in the DFW area. If you're here in town and want to visit them, but wherever you are in the world, you can go to their website or their social media. And they have so many resources. They're a blended family themselves. Mm-hmm. They can relate from personal experience. And they've also got some resources on our website, exomarriage.com.
That's right.
Well, don't tune out just yet, guys. We are going to share our fun fact of the day and dad joke. And yeah, so it's we're just getting started. And we've got more episodes with our friend Susan Thomas. And just to give you a little sneak preview, she's got a podcast coming on the EXO Network. I'm super excited about it. You're thinking, this lady is so wise and so fun, and I'm learning so much. How can I learn more? Well, stay tuned. There's a whole podcast coming where you're gonna be able to get wisdom from her on a weekly basis, and so we'll be talking more about that soon.
That's right.
Sweetie, what's the fun fact you have for us today?
All right, the fascinating parenting fact today is from factretriever.com, and it is this, okay? It says, a popular parenting tradition in Ireland, which is the home country of my people, McCrae is my maiden name, mm-hmm. and Ireland is beautiful, and I love it. Anyway, so in Ireland, they sprinkle a crumbled piece of parents' wedding cake on top of their newborn's head while the baby is being baptized, and this is to symbolize the circle of life. So from the marriage to the baptism of the baby.
How about
that's
it?
That is so creative.
I know, wedding and so cake. Creative. So yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, so for those people Irish that tradition. Waited a long time to have that baby, that's some old cake.
That
yeah.
is some moldy cake.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, wash that off fast.
Oh man, let me think. Okay, so I got a...
Your dad joke.
Can't dad wait. Joke. The dad jokes, guys, feel free to send me some. The ones I tell, they keep getting worse. I need some new ones. So write us on Instagram, at Dave and Ashley Willis. You can also just write us there for serious stuff, too.
Whatever you want.
Send us a yes. message. We would love to connect with you over there. But what do you call a truck that smells like feet?
I don't know. What do you call a truck that smells like feet?
A tow truck.
Oh, tow one. Truck. That she wasn't even that hard. One. I know. Oh. Wow.
So
now
bad.
I can't. Now I smell it.
So
now
bad.
I smell it.
So bad.
So you see why I need
stinky
new jokes.
Feet.
And you see why I need you to email me.
I love it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Susan, thank you.
Thank
You're
you,
always
Susan.
Such a joy
thank
to
you.
Be
so
here.
So good. Thank you.
And guys, tune in next time because we have got Susan back again for a really important topic. You're not going to want to miss it. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Do us a favor and share this episode. I know that it's going to encourage somebody today. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time.